Hello, everyone. I'm Brian Zimmerman, the custom content editor at Becker's Healthcare. Thank you for tuning into the Becker's Healthcare podcast series. Today, I'm pleased to be joined by Mike O'Neill to discuss interoperability standards in the health IT landscape. Mike O'Neill is the Chief Executive Officer at Medicasoft. He's been with the company for over 7 years, leading high-performance teams in healthcare IT, hardware, software, and systems applications. Mike, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us today.
I'm happy to be here.
Great. So let's go ahead and dive right into the conversation. So the first question I have here for you is, there's certainly been a lot of interest and a decent bit of confusion, I'd say, around the ONC's 2020 advisory report on interoperability standards. And what should healthcare leaders understand about this report?
Yeah, well, actually, they're both ONC and CMS came out with final rules on interoperability earlier this year. They're both focused on making it easier for patients to access health records and making it easier to exchange health data overall. I would say first, both rules have specific requirements to prevent information blocking. They're basically saying that except for a defined set of conditions, like preventing patient harm, protecting privacy, those kind of things, both providers and payers need to allow access to health information and allow the exchange of health information. So one thing that healthcare leaders will need to do is to make sure that they have policies that are in place that aren't interfering with access to data. That will run afoul of the information blocking part of both rules. Another thing to understand is that both of the rules are more specific than we've seen previously about the kind of data that has to be shared and specifically the way that it is accessed. And for example, the ONC rule requires that providers allow patient access to health records, but it gets specific to say that access must be via standard API and not just any API, but HL7 FHIR. Even more specifically in this version of the rule, which release 4 of FHIR. And even beyond that, it's specific about what data set has to be made available, a data set that's actually called in the standard US core for data interoperability or USCDI, that's actually the data that has to be made available. And similarly, the CMS rule requires payers to make sure that patients can access data via the same kind of specifications. So for healthcare leaders, you need to make sure not only that you aren't interfering or blocking information access, but that you're actually supporting the specific technical requirements from an IT point of view.
That makes sense. And a quick follow-up here before we move on to my next question, just out of curiosity. So you said these rules have become more specific than what we've seen in the past. Is that a trend you anticipate will continue on into the future?
It seems like yes, that it will. That the idea of API access, for example, has been in the rule, previous rules. The idea of increasing patient access has been in previous rules. But getting more specific does a couple of things. First, it gives more direction. If you need to implement the rules, how do you do it? What will work today? What will work tomorrow? It gives you some visibility into where are they going, which is great to protect the investment from a healthcare industry point of view. If you need to make an investment to adhere to the rules, you'd like to know that that investment will last for a while. So being a little bit more specific and getting into more details of the roadmap, that can be a good thing. I would say that we would expect this to continue, and hopefully just from an industry point of view, there is a point where it can become over-prescriptive, but by being specific, it lets everybody implement something in a common way with some certainty that it's not going to shift on them once they've made an investment.
And so broadly speaking, then, what is the overall significance of this report and how is, and these other standards, how is it influencing healthcare today?
Well, the immediate impact is that it will make it easier for people to get access to their own health information. But maybe the question is, what do we do with that? And I think the real significance of the rules in a little bit bigger picture is that if we can increase the ability to exchange health information, then both the provider community and the payer community will be better able to get a more complete picture, I would say, of your health and determine what's going to be the most effective care for you, what's going to be the best cost for delivering that care. I would say from an influence on healthcare, it's really a driver to allow the industry to be more data-driven, which in the end should be better for patients in terms of both the quality of care, the quality of health outcomes, and the cost.
For sure. The data-driven component, it's definitely something that makes a lot of sense as sort of just improving the overall quality of care and everything else about that goes into the experience and execution of care. And so then I want to ask the next question I have has to do with COVID-19. So I think we have to touch on this no matter what topic we're talking about in healthcare now. So the pandemic has certainly accelerated the adoption and application of telehealth and other digital technology solutions. So how has COVID-19 influenced the pursuit of true interoperability in healthcare?
Well, COVID-19 has brought right to the forefront the importance of really not only just being able to rapidly share or exchange health information for things like public health reporting, and that's a challenge in itself, but I think it's really highlighted the importance of what sometimes we would call semantic interoperability, which is how do we make sure that we have a common understanding of what the data means. So if a hospital is sending data to a public health organization, for example, can we be sure that that organization is going to be able to interpret the data in the way that the hospital intended? Are lab results coded, and are they coded in a way that the public health organization knows clearly what are COVID-related results or COVID-related encounters and so forth, and how should that be interpreted? And honestly, it's not so easy when something like a virus first emerges and there aren't yet agreements on exactly how everyone should code that data. So the importance of really being able to be flexible in terms of interoperability, interpretation of data, I think the pandemic has put a real spotlight on the importance of that capability. I would actually say that another thing that the pandemic has pointed out is that we need to think broadly about healthcare data beyond things like lab results and clinical data. In a pandemic, it's important to be able to gather data on things like the availability of hospital beds, the capacity of ICUs, stocks on protective equipment, and so forth. So when we think about true interoperability, I think we have to think about including this type of data as well.
Yeah, so think about a crisis, right? It shines a spotlight on all the sort of areas that need this improvement and attention.
Yes, for sure. And, you know, it's clear once you're in the pandemic that speed of response is important. But when you're outside the pandemic, sometimes we forget that, you know, the preparation that you do to build in tools that, you know, not only make it easy to collect data electronically, let's say, versus having hospitals report by sending spreadsheets or even by phone. We often think about that kind of speed. Well, if I can get electronic exchange in place, that's really going to help me, which of course is true. But on top of that is that, am I really going to be able to, in a speedy way, use that data and be certain that I know what it means when I'm getting a bed count or when I'm getting counts of patients who have COVID symptoms or I'm looking to verify lab results. It suddenly becomes really important to be able to understand how do I do that? How do I deal with the interpretation, the meaning, the semantic interoperability of that data?
No, definitely. And I want to look to the future here with this next question. So what will the health IT landscape look like in the next 5 years? And how will healthcare's various stakeholders be affected?
Well, as I mentioned a moment ago, I think the industry will become more data-driven. And, well, not to say that healthcare doesn't use data today. I mean, of course we do, but it doesn't, I would say we really don't leverage data to nearly the same extent that some other industries do. And if you think maybe just for a moment about the amount of data and the scale of analytics that consumer companies will use to understand our personal behavior and target us with products or services or whatever it is that they're engaged with, couldn't we leverage that kind of approach to data to deliver maybe better health outcomes? And I think we don't leverage the volume of data and the scale of analytics approach that other industries do. So I mean, what does that mean for various stakeholders? Well, I think that healthcare technology companies will continue to build tools that make it easier to work with large amounts of data, and taking steps like the ONC and CMS interoperability rules that we talked about, that starts to free up data to maybe make it more available, more liquid, if you will. That should be coupled with then technology companies building the kind of systems and tools that can take advantage of that data availability, not just to aggregate it or pull it together, but to actually make it more useful to improve the quality of that data to a level that for healthcare providers and for payers, they can really stop focusing on how they even get their hands on data and really focus on getting information from that data. What can they gain from it? How can they actually use it to address the care that they're delivering and the efficiency that they have to do that? It's essentially, if they could not have to spend so much time and money on the plumbing, I think it would raise the level in the industry. And really, I think if we can do that, ultimately the stakeholders, the healthcare organizations that will really emerge are going to be the ones that know how to or that can learn how to make better use of data for figuring out how to look at, how to take care of people's overall health and wellness, rather than focusing narrowly on treating disease.
Got it. So it's really about developing solutions that can sort of unlock the wisdom that's sort of locked in the data, right? Is that fair to say?
I think that's true. And I think as an industry, we've kind of built up to this in layers, starting with making it possible to exchange data at all, and then to do it electronically, and then to do it in a way that we can agree on the meaning, and then build up tools that can make use of it and so forth. So as we take step by step, we really are then as an industry better able to focus on the big picture.
That makes sense. And Mike, before we sign off here, I just want to see if you have anything else on this topic you'd like to share with our listeners today.
Well, I think we shouldn't close without mentioning one thing we haven't touched on yet, which is privacy and security. I think it's really important to note that increased interoperability, increased sharing of health records, that should not mean giving up privacy or security. And I think that as the industry focuses more on data sharing, on data interoperability, there will be an increased focus on privacy and security. And really, the healthcare technology companies who take that into consideration from square one and are able to build in the mechanisms to protect privacy, to give patients the ability to consent, to give providers and payers the ability to protect data, those are the players who will add the most value in the industry.
An important note to end on there. Thank you so much, Mike, for taking the time and sharing your thought-provoking responses with us today.
It was my pleasure. Thank you.
Excellent. I'd also like to thank Medicasoft for sponsoring this podcast episode, and you can tune into more podcasts from Becker's Healthcare by visiting our podcast page at beckershospitalreview.com.